Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, which is so important. It just changes the comfort of the entire buying experience. And a fabulous service department, whether it's routine, oil changes, you name it, to inspections, to diagnostics, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Our play-by-play call of the day, the Lightning get it done to tie the series.
Again, 12 forwards and 6 defensemen for John Cooper tonight. Bogosian, one of the 6, put it right on, rebound goal! Pat Maroon knocked it in to give the Bolts a 1-0 lead.
Pat Maroon, longtime veteran, gets it done, and the Tampa Bay Lightning tie the series at 2, heading back to Madison Square Garden. I'm sure there was something about the game Matt thought was, quote, stupid.
No, I had no problems with that game.
What game did you have a problem with?
Nothing game-related I had a problem with yesterday. This is all off the field, off the court-related complaints. We already went through one of them with Phil Mickelson.
What's the other one?
Well, there's two more. This one, I've said about it before, but it's out there, so...
It's two more.
Yeah,
it's two more.
Exactly. But I'm just going to say it again just because I have to. And that is the continued airheadedness of Joshua Harris, the owner of the Sixers, who is still not focusing on his NBA team that continues to disappoint year in and year out after the stupid process, and he's still got his hands in other things after he originally bought the Sixers first. It's bad enough he owns one of the division rivals of the team you share an arena with, the New Jersey Devils. He tried and offered $5 billion for the Broncos yesterday. Luckily, he didn't get it. Enough! Focus on your own NBA team for once, and maybe they'll actually be a championship contender. He continues to add to his plaque in my hall of stinkage. I'm sorry. It just, everything that he does, it just fires me up. I can't stand this guy.
He speaks highly of you.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know what really an owner has to do with if he wants to go out and buy another team. I mean, my goodness. I mean, today the Waltons, Sam Walton's son, along with his daughter and his son-in-law, put it in the bid and was accepted by the Broncos for $4.65 billion. That means that in one form or another, because Ann Walton is married to Stan Kroenke, the Walton family will own 5 of the 6 franchises in the state of Colorado, plus a cable TV network. Well, so Kroenke owns the Rams. They just won the Super Bowl. He also, along with his wife, and she's listed as the owner, but, you know, let's face it, it's together, right? They own the Colorado Avalanche. They're in the Stanley Cup Final. And they also own the Denver Nuggets, and the Nuggets are a good team. So you can own multiple teams and have success, right?
I suppose you can, but if this is just me again. This is just me. You got to pick in a sport that you think you can have the most success in, and then keep investing in, do what you need to do to make that investment successful. If you keep making 5,000 other investments, how successful are you going to be? The Sixers, you know, they are what they are. They're good, but not great. The Devils stink to high heaven. Manchester United hasn't done anything lately. And now you want to try and buy the Broncos? It's one thing if you're successful in doing that. It's another thing when most of your teams stink or are mediocre or can't get over the hump like the Sixers.
Well, he's going to get... He's not going to get the Broncos in the end, so that's not going to happen. But, you know, I mean, you look at John Henry and the Fenway Group. They own Liverpool. They own the Red Sox. They own the Penguins. They own Fenway Roush Racing. Right? I mean,
they're an exception. All those franchises are doing relatively well.
But I mentioned Stan Kroenke. I mean, Kroenke's got a team that just won the Super Bowl and another one's in the Stanley Cup Final in two different sports. Two completely different sports.
The only gripe I give to Stan Kroenke is the way he fouled things up, the way he left St. Louis.
Well, he did, and he's hurt the league by doing it. He's trying to have everybody else foot the bill for what he did.
So I can't give him that credibility.
Right. That's your responsibility. You need to pay that money. Not the other members of the league. You need to pay the money. If you're saying that, look how much we're benefited by having a franchise in the number two market in the country, okay. That is an argument because it does make a difference in TV negotiations. There's no question about that. But, you know, ownership is one thing. It's who you hire to manage and run it. And then what kind of budget do you give them? I mean, that's a big part of it. You know, what's the budget? I'll give you an example. Let's talk about John Henry for a moment. Yeah, Liverpool has won. The Red Sox have won four World Series under him. But the Red Sox in the last year and a half have gone with the, okay, we have to cut back payroll, do this, do that. And they aren't even remotely the team that they were in 2018. They're not. Right? You know, they're still trying to spend some money, but they're trying to also roll back. But you have to have good management to do that. And it's the people you hire to manage it. So in the Sixers' case, it's not him, the owner. It's the decisions that have been made by Daryl Morey or Colangelo or Stan Henke along the way that make you sit back and go, ugh. The process thing, that's an embarrassment. Right? You know, we're working hard not to win. Well, I mean, that's not the goal of the franchise. The goal of the franchise is to win. And they got... Except for Joel Embiid, yeah, they drafted Simmons too, but now that's James Harden. What did they really get out of it? He, the owner, is not making those decisions.
But he is making those decisions to make of those people that make the decisions. He hired Sam Hinkie. He hired Brian Colangelo.
That's true. And now Colangelo he brought in because they were going to get away from doing that.
Right, but then Colangelo had a bunch of
Yeah. He had other issues, okay? But they brought in Colangelo to get away from the process. Where he as an owner, looked at it and go, this is crazy. I'm not going to do this. Because they could see they were going nowhere with it. Like, what are we doing here? I mean, they're the only franchise I've ever heard of. You know, how there's a cap? Well, with the cap, people, you know, there's also a floor. Sixers are the only franchise I've ever heard of that violated the floor. They got fined. They got reprimanded by the NBA because their salary structure was too low. They're the only ones I've ever heard of that's had that happen. But it's amazing what money means. We talk about it all the time. I mean, do you think I want to sit here and talk about money all the time? I mean, I read up on it all the time. I'm reading on all sorts of stuff. Always reading up on the business part of it and how it works, why it doesn't work. You know, TV deals, other kind of deals. I'm reading up on that all the time. I'd rather just watch games. That's fun. Yet you sit there and you're talking about all this other stuff instead. But without the other stuff, you can't have it. But there's got to be a better understanding of everybody about what the triangle is. You know, so let's talk about the triangle in pro sports and then the triangle in college sports. All right, let's do that. Okay. In pro sports, the triangle is the owners. You can't have anything unless you have somebody that is paying bills, owning an organization, paying the people in the organization, all the way through. You can't. So you need, that's one. Two, you can't get anywhere with it unless you have players. Understand that. They're the product. They're out there giving the consumer and giving them a product to consume. Entertainment, winning, spectacular plays. They're the product. And then there's the most forgotten part of it. Well, you can't do any of this unless you have fans consuming it. You can have owners. The game can't get by without owners. The game can't get by without players. But the game can't get by at all without fans. You can't turn your fans off. They're paying for the tickets. They're paying for the parking. They're paying the concessions. They're paying the cable bills. So even if they're not going to the games and they want to watch at home, they're paying the cable bills, which then in turn goes back to the franchises. Now let's talk about college sports. What's the triangle there? The triangle is, number one, your student athletes. Okay? You're throwing whatever resources you have into whatever it takes to make them better, but also into what can help them out academically and so forth. That's part of it. Second part of the triangle is the staff that makes it happen. I don't care whether it's the football coach or whether it's an assistant or associate athletic director or whatever it may be. Somebody in charge of tickets, somebody in charge of NIL, somebody in charge of whatever. Okay? So you got your staff. And the third part is the fans. So when you're in a position like Patrick Kraft, for example, as the new athletic director of Penn State, which he will be at the end of the month, he's got to look out for the student athletes. In private, he's got to look out for the staff that he has and make them feel like, hey, look, you know, push them but appreciate them. And then make sure that the fans get what they need out of it. Because, as I've already gone through it 1,000 times about what it means to go to a game. And they also pay the cable bills. And you may have over-the-air TV contracts coming up between Fox, CBS, NBC, which all might be a possibility in this alleged $1.1 billion deal per year coming up. All right? But remember, even over-the-air networks are on cable, and you're paying for it. That's the triangle. And you can't leave out any part of the triangle. Second, that one part of the triangle gets neglected, you've got a problem. I mean, you don't want to make a fan like Matt mad. And he's
mad
every day. He's mad every day. He's inducting people into the Hall of Stinkage.
Wow. Sam Hinkie and Joshua Harris have been long inducted into the Hall of Stinkage.
Well, made a lot of personnel mistakes. I remember, to be honest with you, I remember when they got rid of Jimmy Butler and they kept Ben Simmons. I sat back and went, okay, are you sure about this? See, that's the difference between great franchises and mediocre ones, is that you'll get to a tipping point and you make the wrong decision. And I remember with Jimmy Butler, I'm thinking, okay, you're letting him go, but you're keeping that guy. That guy can't shoot. I don't know. How many times have you heard me say, if you're a first-round pick, you got to play your way out. If you're not, you got to play your way in. Ben Simmons is a perfect example of that. He's getting chances left and right because he was the first overall pick in the draft. Now, in that particular year, I'm trying to think of who would be a better choice than Ben Simmons. Because, again, I did not like his game at LSU. But in that particular year, I'd have to look back and see who the heck was drafted that year behind him. Because off the top of my head, I don't know. But it was, in a lot of ways, a mistake because he's never improved his game. He's a good defender. He's a good passer. But offensively, as a shooter, he's a liability. And you had the first overall pick in the draft, and he had another first overall pick in the draft. He took Markelle Fultz, and I knew he couldn't play.
You know what's funny about that, Steve? I just looked this up. So the Markelle Fultz draft was 2018, I think.
Well, we know that's Tatum. I mean, Tatum was third.
Right. But the Sixers were 1, Celtics were 3 after they made the trade.
Right.
2016, Sixers were 1, drafted Ben Simmons. Celtics were 3, drafted
Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown. Yeah. There it is. That is amazing.
But you have to have the ability to, because I remember when the Celtics drafted Brown, I thought, wow, that's actually heck of a draft. I think they out-drafted the Sixers because I felt like Brown was a really good offensive player and actually not bad defensively. Now, Brown's biggest issue is sometimes he goes one speed and he has to remember the ball has to go the same speed he does. And that's been an issue in the finals to this point. But, yeah, that's what you do. You have to make good choices. And that's not, unless Harris is sitting in the draft room saying you got to do this, depends on how much independence you want to give to your people. For example, what kind of independence does Jerry Jones give to his people with Dallas? Right? He's an owner that's directly involved in the on-field product. I'm not sure, for example, how involved Jeffrey Lurie is with the, quote, on-field product in terms of saying, like, to Howie, hey, how about drafting him? I don't know. I'd have to be around it every day to know.
My interpretation has been, at least right now, it's he's involved when he feels like he needs to be. He was heavily involved after Chip Kelly. He wasn't really that involved once Doug P got things going. Or he tried to be, but then that's how the whole firing began. Now Howie Roseman's pretty much got full control and he's for the most part on cruise control.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out. I mean, it seems on paper they drafted well and made some moves. We'll find out. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, Nate Bauer, in the final half hour, do we have all your venom out of the way for the day? Or
I have one more, but we can get to that later on.
Oh, what is it? What is it?
It has to do with Jack Del Rio's comments today with the Commanders. It's not the comments itself. Let's get that out of the way. It's the timing of them that I have a problem with. And I have a problem with the Commanders' hype, overall hype, because I'm not buying it.
Yeah, see, I had a game today, so I already have done a game today. So while I was doing a game, all this stuff was happening, so I don't even know what he said. I mean, if he was in a different division, would you have a problem with it?
I guess it would depend on the hype around the team.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Elmels Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties. Pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee and a great service department that takes care of everything from the routine, like oil changes and so forth, to inspections, to diagnostics. It is all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. He has been courted heavily by the LIV Golf Tour. I understand that completely. It's Nate Bauer.
You know what? I can't take that blood money, Steve. Can't do it.
I understand that.
I'm a man of principle.
You're a man of standards.
That's right.
It's all about.
That's right.
It's all
but
about,
you know what? It does open a spot for me on the PGA. So
yes, it does.
I'm
yes.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, DeChambeau, Na, and others are out. That's five spots that are open. I can think of right away. You're in good shape.
The only one I'm going to miss is Phil. Honestly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of fans out there going to miss him, but. It's interesting that we start out by discussing money because that's where we're going to go to next. James Franklin did meet with the media today.
Did.
And he talked about, and of course the topic, you know, as much as people would like to hear about Chop Robinson now being here and Danai Dennis-Sutton coming in this weekend, it comes down to the money part of it. He was very far more direct about it today than at any point. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I think certainly in the context of speaking to the broader media, for sure. I had an interview with him last week, a one-on-one, and it was focused entirely on NIL. And he was more forthcoming in that setting as well, I guess, than he had been previously. It is what's happening, right? Like this is not a conversation about, and you and I have talked about this, it's not a conversation about something that's happening down the road, like getting prepared for it. It is, no, this is here. This is happening. NIL is a massive influence on roster management and roster construction. And if, you know, we're going to do 1 + 1 = 2, that roster management and construction is what wins you or loses you games. So it's all here and it's all now. And, you know, he's ready to talk about it.
I think that there's a bottom line to this. You know, when you're in this business, you have to adapt. You have to. I mean, it's 11 and a half months into this. You have to adapt to it. And you have to make a decision, I think. Do you want to be a team that's in the top 10 competing for the whole thing? Or do you want to be 20 to 35? I mean, I essentially get that. I think that's where he's coming from.
100%. 100% is. And he said this. I thought that it was the most direct framing of the conversation that he's done in that. Somebody asked him, you know, about the $13 million number, right? That's what Ryan Day at Ohio State told a group of boosters it would be necessary for roster management annually, right? Like, they would need to raise that amount of money. And somebody said, hey, what's the number for Penn State, right? That was how it kind of started. And he said, more than whatever that other number is. Without even referencing it specifically, he just said, more than that, right? And so that's the framework. And then somebody followed and said, well, Ohio State said $13 million. You're saying that that's more than that? And his response, again, I'm paraphrasing here, but his response was simply to say, look, every story, every year, Penn State football is compared to Ohio State. That is the bottom line. And that's throughout the Big Ten, right? Michigan's compared to Ohio State. They are the standard of the Big Ten. And so if the number out of Ohio State is $13 million, and that's what Ohio State is saying is necessary, then why wouldn't Penn State football, if Penn State is expected to compete with Ohio State, why wouldn't Penn State football need the exact same things, right? Like, you don't have to duplicate exactly what someone else is doing, but you better be in the ballpark. You better be trying to do the exact same things. And if that concept isn't understood of what competition is, then you're going to get left behind. And I think he made that very, very plain to see today.
Well, it's the bottom line. You need to figure out a way. How do you compete with this? Well, the current rules state that this is how you have to compete. It doesn't mean everybody has to like it. I mean, if you look at a lot of coaches, they don't like it, but they know, Nate, that it's their only shot. I mean, because that's the reality of it.
James Franklin does not like it, right? Like, you've been around him long enough. For 10 years, 9 years now, right? I mean, from that first coach's caravan, really getting a chance to get to know James Franklin, the stories of the influence of playing, this D2 football, D3 football, and riding buses for 8 hours. Like, he has this great affinity for that college football experience and what it meant to him and his life. However, he is trying to win football games and run a program that can compete in today's college football. And the reality, the bottom line is, what his experience was, as much as he loves it and cherishes it and has respect for it, is not what today's environment is. It's just not. And if you want to be a part of this, if you want to have a program at Penn State that competes with Georgia, not right, like, forget Ohio State. Ohio State is extremely important to this conversation. But also Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, you name it, right? Like, Texas A&M, all of these programs that are making huge strides in this space and are recruiting the best players to come to their school. The reason why the best players are coming to their school is now also, right, Miami included, and these upstarts that want to be part of it, is because they have an infrastructure for NIL in place. And the sooner the Penn State fans and the sooner that the Penn State community at large starts to understand that, the faster you can move towards getting that established. But they're playing from behind. That's a big part of this. They are playing from behind right now, trying to catch up to those other guys.
There are different ways of doing this. For example, Penn State is third in the nation in endowments. Well, now, I think they're looking at people saying, okay, you've done a great job with endowments. You can shift over to NIL because that's where you can really make the difference now moving forward. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, 100%, but
But are they willing to do it? Yeah.
Yeah, this is in the weeds, right, Steve, a sports radio show. But, like, this is the core conflict, right, of Penn State as a community. Penn State has always done extremely well at raising money for academic pursuits, and that includes in athletics, right? Athletics having sponsored scholarships, like that, endowed scholarships, that is a tried and true like solid thing and aspect of what Penn State athletics has been, and certainly what Penn State University has been. Look, the conversation has to change a little bit. If you are going to continue to maintain and have a robust, healthy, strong, competitive football program, yes, those funds that may have been earmarked only for academics in the past or for scholarships in the past, it's gonna have to be broken up. It doesn't mean that it has to swing 100% the other direction, but yeah, you're gonna need to feed this animal to be able to compete in this space.
Now let's dispel something that some people might assume. The new TV contract will be great for the athletic department, but it is not going to help NIL. And that's something that people have to understand. That's not what it's earmarked for in every program.
Correct. I mean,
But people will see that and they'll assume that, and you can't do that.
Totally. If I have to look at the broader impact of television money, it's that the protection of field hockey or softball or fencing or down the line. If you want to have a 31-sport athletic department and keep that going, the television money should help in that regard, in being able to maintain keeping those other sports. NIL is a totally different animal, right? It cannot be supplied and funded by the university itself. This has to be raised through other means. Honestly, it's money laundering, which is it is so stupid how we've gotten to this point in terms of the way that the NCAA structured preventing this in the first place. But now we're here. This is what it is. And so to follow legislation, right, like legally from the laws that states have in place, as well as NCAA rules, this has to be donor-funded. So that can take a variety of forms, whether it's one big whale who just says, hey, I have a couple of businesses, and I'm going to employ every student-athlete right on the football program to be a quote-unquote sponsor, or in Penn State's case, appealing to the broadest set of people that you possibly can to chip in $100 a year, right? $10 a month, whatever it is. However you can possibly get that slush fund, for lack of a better word, which is, right, the collective, however you can make that collective as robust and healthy as you possibly can, that will help you engage and support NIL opportunities.
There are currently, I believe, three different collectives for Penn State. Now, I talked to one of the leaders of one of them last month, and I know the goal a year from now is to be eight figures. Okay, that's the goal. Got to get there. Would it be important in the context of this discussion if the three collectives could just roll into one?
Certainly, I think it would help. Honestly, I am not as, familiar with the individual health, I would say. I think that's the best way for me to put it, of each one of those collectives. But the programs, and again, we're talking about this as unaffiliated collectives, right? Like, they're not supposed to be part of your athletic department. But the ones who are doing it the best know what the athletic department wants, right? Like, they know the structure, they know the design and how to execute and how to implement, to the best usage, right? And so, whoever the NIL collective is at Penn State that has it together, right, and has its stuff together and can execute that the best, streamlining it and putting it into one place would seem to follow the national trends of who else is doing it the best.
I should point out, I do not know the finances of two of the collectives, but I have a pretty good handle on the finances of the one, and I know eventually down the road they have to apply to be a 501(c). There's just so much that goes into it. A lot of legal hoops that have to be jumped through to make this happen. But the bottom line is, you. James has talked about this with me, and probably I think with you, that Penn State's been fighting from behind on this since day one. What kind of impact can Patrick Kraft have on helping to close the gap?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just about urgency, right? That is the word. Is if you are not working towards this and improving this every day, and not looking at it as a finish line, right, for 2 years down the road, the fact that this didn't exist from day one on July 1 of last year when NIL became legal, put Penn State behind. That is a bottom line reality. Mm-hmm. That other places were ready for this. And Penn State had an approach. They took a different approach to lean into entrepreneurship and education. That was what Penn State's formal institutional approach to NIL was going to be. But as the months played on, it became very clear that's not the tack that every other major institution and athletic department was going to take, right? And so now you are looking at an environment where, hey, this is what everybody else has been doing, and not only have they been doing it, but they've been doing it well, and they've had months and months and months of practice, right? Meanwhile, Penn State's NIL, right, the most significant among them, I would say, at being Success with Honor.
Yes.
It launched in, February, March?
February.
Okay. So you're starting that race from 8 months behind.
If people can take this for whatever it means, but in today's college sports, it has what I refer to WWKD. And I think as an athletic department, you've got to maybe take this approach. What would Kentucky do? I'm not joking when I say that. Like, guess what? The rules state that what they're doing is perfectly fine. Go do it.
Yep. No, it's why Jimbo Fisher getting so upset about what Nick Saban said is so ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
It's legal. This is above board now. And so whatever the rules are, right, as they exist today, that is what you should be getting as close to that line as you possibly can. You should be exploiting them to your fullest benefit. And not doing so means that you're not doing the things that it takes to win, that everyone else, not everyone, honestly, like there are some schools that are kind of grappling with this right now, Michigan being one of them. But if you're not doing those things, if you're not embracing it and trying to figure out a way to have as much success as you possibly can within the framework of the rules as they stand, then you're selling yourself short. And so I think, kind of back to your Pat Kraft question, the most important thing that I see that he'll need to do is get the full backing of the institution of Penn State in line and behind the messaging, right? Like, there needs to be a campaign. There needs to be a broad understanding, however you want to do it, however you want to execute it. But it is, hey, this exists, and this is how far we are behind, and this is what your help can impact the health of this endeavor. Right?
Well,
you got to make that clear, and you got to do it as soon as you possibly can.
I'll phrase it this way, okay? And I'm going to ask you one quick basketball question. The rules are the rules as they stand. He needs Penn State and Penn Staters to all pull in the same direction. All right?
Yep.
Like, that's what it comes down to. I think that's probably the simplest way to phrase it. Mikey Henn is in. I don't even think he visited campus.
He did not.
6'8" wing. What kind of impact could he have?
I think that it's important to set the right expectations. He's a big body, right? Which Mike Shrewsbury and Penn State didn't have, and so immediately he gives you that, right? He gives you a little bit of size. I think
right.
that at 225 pounds, you know, expecting a ton, right? Like, we're not talking about a rim protector here. Defensively, what he brings you is going to be complicated. it's going to be tough for him, I think, in the Big Ten to guard fives. However, he's really a stretch, right? I mean, he shoots it. I think he hits 38% from three. You know, he's smart. He knows the game, and I think I was able to talk to him actually right after he committed. You know, kind of what Penn State envisions for him is, you know, a lot of the offense that Shrewsbury ran last year was through John out of the high post. And right. So to be able to bring that element back and to be able to have that in your arsenal, I think helps. I think it's something, his passing is something that he attributed as being one of his better qualities, you know, so offensively, you know, maybe it's not unreasonable to think, I don't know, 12 to 15 minutes a game, maybe 5 points.
That's what I thought.
Right, 5 points, yeah. 8 points.
Yeah, I said 15 to 20 and a contributor that will help you win some games, but he's not the swing piece that changes the whole program.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the important caveat to this is it relaxes the pressure and the timeline on the true freshman.
Exactly.
Because with them coming in and not having a big body, anybody literally over, what, that's 6'6", 6'5"? I mean,
right.
Yeah. you wouldn't have a body on the roster over 6'5" or 6'6". And so for, you know, to bring in this 6'8 kid, I think relaxes a little bit the pressure that those guys would have felt trying to get up to speed and be immediate contributors, you know, in the non-conference schedule.
Yeah. Nate, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Nate Bauer. All right. Back with more after this.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.